Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17, we'll read verses 25 through 29 together. We'll read this passage responsively. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And let's finish on verse 29 together. Ready? And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And let's pray. Father, thank you again for meeting with us. Lord, we really do believe this is a church that you enjoy being at. Lord, not just because of what happens here, but because we spend time with you here. Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight. Lord, we're a needy people. Each and every truth cuts deep into our lives because we stand before you sinners. Father, please fill us with your power as we listen to the man of God tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening's sermon is a sermon that will help you, if you'll allow it to. Actually, the truth on which I'll preach is one of the differences between being average and being above average. It is a truth that will help you in the difference between just finishing a job and having an outstanding job well done. It's one of the differences between good and great. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 29, the words, "And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" David, a young man, you know the story, we've heard it so many times, he's tending to his father's flocks, and there's a war that is raging. His brothers are at that war. The battle that is going on is between God's children, and the Philistines. Goliath is the champion of the Philistines. David's father sends David down to take some food to his brothers at the battle site. When he gets there, Goliath, the champion of the Philistines, begins to mock the people and mock David, mock all the soldiers of God's army. And David says something needs to be done about this. David's brother, his older brother, kind of scolds David and tries to put David in his place and says, "David, this isn't your business. You just came down here to stick your nose in." And then David makes a historical statement, one that has been preached on over and over and over again. David says, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" Now, not long after making that statement, David fights and defeats Goliath. Now, I think we all know this, but I want to mention again, David was fighting out of his weight category. He wasn't in his weight class. David was just a young man. Goliath was probably 9 foot 9 inches minimum in height. Goliath was a trained veteran. He in battle had proven himself to be the heavyweight champion of the Philistines. Now David had been tending to his father's flocks in the desert, and he had not proven himself in battle. Now, if David is out, he's outweighed by very, very much experience and age and all of that. How in the world did David fight and win? Now, we know that God was with him. But may I say this, not only was God with him, David had a cause. David had a cause. Now, please don't miss it. You see, I believe God was with him. But David, there was something more than just that God was with him boiling on the inside of David. That's why when Goliath threatened and David spoke up and others who could have fought Goliath that wouldn't tried to calm him down, and David said, now something needs to be done about that. And when they get to inquiring with David, David said, is there not a cause? Now with David, there was a cause. David said, there is a cause. I see in the book of Job, chapter 13, verse 18, I see the word cause again. It says, I have ordered my cause. In Psalm chapter 9, verse number 4, it says, for thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Now here we see the word cause again. In Job chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. The word cause again is mentioned in Lamentations 3, verse number 59. Now I got to thinking about that word cause. I have looked at the story of the battle between David and Goliath time and time again. And I know that something special was going on inside this young man named David for him to go up against Goliath of Gath and to beat him. Something very special was going on. And I believe again, I believe God was with him, but I'll tell you something. I believe that burning inside David was a cause that gave him an extra boost of energy that made all the difference in the world. Now, the word cause, it means a reason, it means a motive, it means something that brings about an intensified result. You see, a cause is a purpose plus a little something extra. You hear that? A cause is a purpose plus a little something extra. A cause is something that ignites an extra drive of intensity. A cause is not just a task that could be done, but it is a task that must be done. And the person with the cause says, and I must take part in it. Listen to me again. A cause is not just a task that could be done, but it is a task that must be done. And the person that has that cause says, and I must take part in it. Hey, what is the cause for which you are giving yourself? For what do you strive in an extra way for? What cause gives you motivation to go a little further? You know, I've noticed something. I've noticed that the people who have a cause find it easier to do right. I have noticed that the people that have a cause fight harder to do right. Noah found a cause, and he built an ark. It took over 100 years to build that ark and went down in history as a preacher of righteousness. Now, how in the world does one man stay after a task for between 100 and 120 years? I'll tell you how. He had a cause. Without a cause, he would have put the hammer down after about two or three weeks of building. But he had a cause, you see. It's not just a job that somebody could do. It was a job that had to be done. And something inside him said, I've got to be a part of it. That's a cause. Moses found a cause. And he led God's people out through the wilderness and out of Pharaoh's captivity, and I think became the greatest leader in the Bible other than Jesus Christ. But see, Moses, you picture it, 40 years leading those people in the wilderness. Now, let me tell you something. A leader without a cause won't put up with it for 40 years. No sense in that. But what caused Moses to strive? What caused him to keep going? Well, he had a cause. He had a cause. I believe that Mary, in her early years of life, had a cause about staying pure. And as a result of it, she got to carry the Christ child in her body because of her purity and her virginity. I think Mary, I think she stepped up. I think this thing of being a young lady that was decent, it was more than just being decent. It was a passion of hers to be pure. And God looked down and said, that lady right there, purity's an issue and purity's a big deal to her. Hey, she had a cause. She had a cause. I believe that Esther found a cause in helping, and because of it, she helped to spare God's people from Haman and the gallows that he had set up to hang them on. I think Elijah found a cause as he calls fire down from the sky to defeat the false prophets of Baal. I think Peter stumbled on to a cause. He was backslidden away from God, but he made a comeback. Why? He had a cause, and he stood and he preached, and 3,000 people were saved at the day of Pentecost. Hey, let's face it. Jesus found his cause. Jesus was one of the cause. I mean, he came and 33 and a half sinless, perfect years fulfilled the word of God to a T. Jesus, everything that he suffered, let me tell you something. There's cause involved. He had a cause. He wanted to accomplish, and again, you and I are saved because he had a cause. I say to you again, a cause is not just a task that could be done, but is a task that must be done. And someone that has a cause, they say, and I must be a part of making it happen. Listen to me, if you will. I call the sermon tonight, what's your cause? What's your cause? I stopped and I thought through some of the occurrences in my life. And I want to tell you, as a young man, when I was saved at 16, and I began to take on some causes. Some causes developed in my life. And virtually, it came in stages. As a very young Christian, my cause was a little different than my cause is right now. Oh, I've never left the original causes, but I have added to them as life went along. And let me tell you all something. I believe that in Christianity we have a lot of obedient Christians, but I see very few that have a cause. A lot of obedience, but not many people that add to their obedience a cause, a passion, a drive, a must-do kind of an attitude. Let me tell you about some of my causes personally as I've grown in the Lord. My first cause was to win my family and friends to Jesus Christ. I got saved, I was 16 years old, and all of a sudden something came over me. I realized if I died, I would go to heaven, but my family and friends would not. And it became my cause. It became my passion. It wasn't just a matter of me saying, well, my family and friends need to be saved. I said, my family and friends must be saved, and I've got to be a part of it. I can't just sit idly by. Now, let me tell you something. All sorts of Christians say, well, I believe people need to be saved. Well, good for you. Something inside you ought to say, I believe people ought to be saved, and I've got to be a part of it. I've got to be a part of it. Most of you won't get your family and friends saved if all you know is there's a heaven and a hell and they're going to go to one of the two. The mere knowledge of their sinful condition is not adequate. Somebody's got to get a cause. Somebody's got to get a cause. Boy, I'll tell you what. It became a passion of mine. It became my original cause. I began winning my family and my friends to Jesus Christ. I remember the night that I won my brother to Christ. Probably as uncouth as it could be, we were in the private room. You'll have to just figure that out. I had a captive audience for a moment there, and I won him to Jesus Christ. And I can tell you story after story after story after story of winning family members and winning my friends to Jesus Christ. It was my cause. Hey, I remember my causes as they developed in my life. It wasn't long after, at 16, my pastor ended up allowing me to become a bus captain. I was a bus captain at 16 years of age, and I'm going to tell you, it became a cause to me. I wanted so desperately to help the boys and girls on my bus route, and I wanted their lives to be better, and I wanted them to be safe. I was a novice. I didn't know much about it. I would say, most would have said at 16, I was a successful bus captain, but I'll tell you this, I was not a successful bus captain because of knowledge. I didn't know anything about it. If there was any success, it was because it was a cause to me. It was a cause to me. Later on, I became the youth director in the church, and it became a cause to me. I remember one night at church, I had a big night in my youth department. There were 101 people in church that night, and 89 of them were teenagers from my youth department because it had become a cause to me. I remember when I was called to preach. I remember that somehow this had become a cause to me. I knew people needed to preach. I knew there needed to be preachers, but that wasn't enough. God called me. I had to be a part of it. And I remember deciding that I wanted to be the kind of preacher that would not change from the old-time religion. I wanted to be faithful to the end. I remember this. I remember later on in life when I was asked to build an adult Sunday school class, the very first one. And I promise you, it became a cause to me. Oh, I knew there needed to be adult Sunday school classes. I knew that. I knew somebody had to teach an adult Sunday school class, and somebody had to build an adult Sunday school class. There needed to be someone to teach adult Sunday school classes. But that was all the common knowledge. I knew all that. But I wanted something different. It became a cause. It became a passion. It became the biggest thing on the face of the earth to me. Biggest thing on the face of the earth. I'm told that my young married couples class grew to the largest young married couples class in the United States of America. We were averaging between 400 and 500 people. That's one Sunday school class. Say, why? A cause. A cause. Cause makes all the difference in the world. Knowledge of what needs to be done is fine, but a cause, there's just something about a cause. I remember when I became an assistant pastor. It was a cause to me. It wasn't just a job opportunity. It wasn't just some position among many. It was a cause to me. I remember when I had the privilege of becoming the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. 6.5, almost 7 years ago. And just so you know, this church is not just another church to me. It's a cause. It's a cause. I'm just telling you, there's something different. David said, is there not a cause? Everybody there knew that somebody needed to step up and take on Goliath. But nobody had it. What were we looking for? The difference was a young man stood up and said, I know what needs to be done, but I'm going to be a part of it. Cause. Are you seeing it? A cause. I don't, hey, you know something? I don't want our church to be average. I want it to be exceptional. That's what I want. And you ought to want that too. I don't know how it happened, but somehow in my life, America has become a cause. I don't want our country to go down the tubes. I don't. I don't want to roll over and play dead as socialism tries to take us over. I don't want that. I want to do what I can. You say, what are you going to do about it? We're going to get churches stirred up and tell them to win a bunch of people to Jesus Christ, because that's what will make a difference. The best program in America for America is a local New Testament church. That's what America needs. Those are my causes in stages. Now, let me say this. Number two, your cause gives you an additional reason to do right and to live right. Your cause gives you an additional reason to do right and to live right. Now listen, we should do right just because it's right to do. But a cause helps us to intensify our drive about doing right. You hear me? We should do right just because it's right to do, but a cause helps us to intensify our drive and our effort of doing right. For instance, I didn't want to be a hypocrite around my lost family members because my cause was to win them to Jesus. Look, if you just say, well, my family and friends are lost, they need to be saved, and you have a knowledge of it, but it's not your passion and cause, who cares how you live around them? But if it is your passion and your cause to be a part of getting them saved, you'll knock it off and live right in their presence so that your hypocritical behavior does not turn them off from Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Hey, I didn't want to be a fake while I was leading my bus kids. Everybody works in the bus ministry. Hey, look, if all it is just you fulfilling some service duty at the church, you won't change the lives of those bus kids. See, I didn't want to be a fake while I was dealing with my bus kids because it was my cause to help them have a better life and to change their life. Hey, good bus workers have a cause. They're not just fulfilling a service duty. They have a cause. As a parent, I wanted to help my children to succeed. So you know what I did? I stayed in church. I didn't badmouth the church. I didn't badmouth the church leadership. We had family devotions. It was a passion. It was a cause to me. It wasn't a matter of I wanted to turn out right. I hope that it turns out okay. It was a passion. It was a cause with me. Your cause gives you an additional reason to do right. I didn't only do right just to do right, but I did right also to accomplish my cause. There's something about a cause. There's something, it's an intensity that goes along with obedience. And I see a lot of it lacking. Well, I'll obey, but how bad do you want to obey? Well, I'll do right, but how bad do you want to do right? There ought to be a passion. You see, my causes grew in stages, just like yours will. And I found that a cause gives you an additional reason to do right and to live right. Thirdly, I see that people with no cause almost have an attitude there's no reason to live right. People with no cause almost have the attitude there's no reason to live right. Hey, do you have a cause? Have you forgotten your cause? See, causeless people make poor decisions in life. You know, every decision you make affects your cause. Every decision you make will either help your cause or hurt your cause. That's why decisions are so big to me. I take a look at every decision I make and I ask myself, okay, how's this going to affect the Holy Spirit in my life? How's this going to affect the rest of my life? How's this going to affect my attempt to try to turn America back to God? Hey, I wish every church member, everybody in this building would stop and say, how's the next decision going to affect the revival that's taking place at my church? I'm talking about your decision. What's it going to do to the spirit of our church? What's it going to do to all the people coming down the aisle getting saved? But you know, causeless people, their decision don't bother them much. You see, every decision we make, it affects our cause. But causeless people, they make pretty poor decisions sometimes. Causeless people make poor decisions. Hey, I'll tell you this. Causeless people have pretty poor friendships. Causeless people develop friendships with causeless people. Hey, bad friendships frustrate good causes. A cause. Causeless people only care about the moment. They have very, very few spiritual goals for their future. What makes me happy now is all that I care about. And I'm not worried about today's decision hurting tomorrow's influence. It's what happens when people don't have a cause. Causeless people live carnal lives. They're carnal. The word carnal there means fleshly. I believe causeless people are more apt to fall into sin. Why? Well, with no cause, you have no fear that sin could destroy a spiritual goal that you have because you don't have many spiritual goals. You know, I've watched people that try to protect their decisions and protect their influence and protect their lives. They are after something far bigger than the moment. They are out to make a difference in somebody's life, in a ministry, in the country. They're out to make a difference. Causeless people, though, so many times live carnal lives. Causeless people may feel that they have no reason to grow in the Lord. I mean, there are some people that they have no passion, they have no desire to grow. Why? They have no cause. I'll promise you, you live better if you have a cause, something that's extra to the obedience that drives you, something that you want to accomplish. When causeless people stumble into sin, they often see no reason to try again. Why? Well, what are they striving for? They don't know. Getting a cause makes a difference in life. My causes came in stages. Your cause then will give you an additional reason to do right and to live right. I find that people without a cause often feel like they have no reason to grow or to do right. Let me give you some causes very quickly. I'll give you some causes, and I think there's some things that we ought to take to a little bit more of an intense level. For instance, some of the ones that I'm going to talk to you about first are just as common as the day is long. Now, your ultimate cause ought to be to please God. Just to please God. Now, let me say something. You ought to obey Him to please Him. Do you know how many people obey Him, but they're not really worried about whether they please Him or not? I'll do it. Well, if I may say on God's behalf, you got a bad attitude. All right, I'll tithe. You say, well, God loves a cheerful giver. God also loves a nasty giver, so you just keep on giving. But you ought to have a passion that goes beyond obedience. You ought to say, I will obey, and I'll do it happily. So I think all of us ought to have more than a desire to obey our God. We ought to have a desire to obey our God and with a good, happy, joyful attitude. We want to please Him. Hey, I think some causes we ought to develop is about the souls of men. See, I don't think we ought to just say, I know people ought to be saved. It ought to be our cause. We ought to win people to Jesus Christ. Win the one. Hey, God left you down here after you got saved to win someone to Christ. Go find them and win them. I think, ladies, I think you ought to make being a good wife a cause. Not just obedience. Obedience with passion. All right, I'll do what He tells me. Submission as a delight. Y'all okay? Sorry, didn't have time to put a joke in here. This would be a perfect place for it. I have no humor, didn't have time to do it. I think every man here ought to want to be a good husband. And I want you to remember something, men. You are to submit to God. He is your head. You say, well, I'll do what God wants me to do, but I don't like it. I think we ought to be loyal, productive church members. Hey, and not just in your own eyes. You ought to be readable. People ought to know that. I think you ought to be a good son or a good daughter, and it ought to be a passion. I think we ought to learn to be trustworthy people, honest and dependable. I think we ought to be good parents. I think we ought to be good examples to other Christians. But let me say, I think there are things that we ought to do and we ought to add to the obedience. We ought to turn them into a cause in our lives. Best parents are the parents that are not just obedient to being a parent, but they want to be a good parent. It's a cause to them. The best Christians I know, the greatest Christians I've ever met, it's a cause to them. I'm not just putting up with being spiritual. I want to be spiritual. I want it. It's a passion of mine. It means something to me. I didn't want to be just a Sunday Christian. I want to be a Monday Christian and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday. I want to start over again. There's a passion to it. There's a cause. There are some other things I think that ought to become a cause. For instance, Brother Brad, I'm going to turn this cordless mic on. When I became an assistant pastor, it was a cause to me. You men that hold the position of assistant pastor in this place, if it's only a job to you, you've missed it. It ought to be a cause. It ought to be a passion. You ought to want to be the best assistant pastor that you can be. Always learning, always developing, getting better and better and better and better at it. A cause. Go to some other denomination if you're just looking for a job opportunity. A cause. If you're a missionary, you better be a missionary with a cause. Well, couldn't figure out what I wanted to do. I decided I'd be a missionary. You won't last. The missionaries that do the great works for God are the missionaries that have a cause. Well, I'll be obedient. I'll go to the foreign field. Well, I want you to be obedient. I want you to go to the foreign field. But I might add, you just need a little spit to what you're about to do. You better get a little energy about you. It better become bigger than that. I'll do it if God's going to make me. Good thing I'm not God. I'd bump you on the head with a two before about the time you acted like that toward me. Every woman in here that is one of our assistant pastor's wives, is that a cause with you? Is it a cause, or are you just stuck with it? Every Christian school teacher, that ought to be a passion and a cause. If not, go teach somewhere else. Everybody that works with the young people, youth pastor, the others that work with the young people, ought to be a passion, a cause. God, if you're an evangelist, you're called to be an evangelist. Let me explain something to you. We've got enough just average evangelists just trying to get enough meetings to bring some money in and put some food on the table. Well, and thank God, we've got some evangelists that represent our church. They have a cause. They have a cause. They want to make a difference. It's not just another thing that I do. A cause. There's our bus director. Our assistant bus director. Men, a cause. It's a cause. It's a purpose. There's more to it than just having a position on the church staff. Music director, cause. A passion to make a difference. Look, the average, they're a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. We need people with a cause. Somebody here needs to grab a hold of the thought of making a difference in our country. A cause. I wonder how many people here would say that your church is a cause to you. If you have joined this church in the last 5 or 6 years, why don't you get in on the cause? Don't come here and mess up the cause. Get in on the cause. And some of you were here before I came. Do I have more of the cause in mind than you do? Is it a cause? Is it a cause to you? Do you believe in the local New Testament church called the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church of Martinsburg, West Virginia? Is it important to you? Is it important that she keeps going and doing right and staying old-fashioned? Is it important to you? Is it a cause? Well, I know the church got to be there. Well, you're a big help. We need another joke right here. Somebody here needs to make it a cause. There's some of you, I realize that you came from families, and when you were reared, you're not reared in church. You didn't know anything much about the gospel, and you look back in your family and say, boy, what a mess I came from. Thank God I got saved. Somebody here ought to make it a cause to see a revival break out in your own family. A cause. Hey, bus captain. Is it a cause? Nah, somebody came, they asked me to be a bus captain, so I did. Well, I'm glad you do it, and I want you to do it out of duty. I want you to do it because it's right to do. But I'll tell you something will make a difference. A cause. A cause. Hey, Sunday school teacher. I want a position at the church. Wrong attitude. Oh, my name printed on the paper that talks about all people teaching Sunday school. You know what? I could have printed that for you. You didn't have to be a Sunday school teacher. I could have given you your own little copy. No, it's a cause. Is your Sunday school class, Sunday school teacher, a cause?
Yeah, somebody's got to teach Sunday school around here.
I've never felt that way. I'm not going to beg anybody to be a Sunday school teacher. You'll find that out. No, we're not going to beg. Because if you got to beg and plead and beg and plead, there's an element missing. You know, I don't go around the church just begging people to be in the choir. Why? Don't do it that way. I'm watching for fire. I'm watching for people that are stepping up and growing. I'm watching for people say, I want to get involved. I want to be a part of this thing. Hey, I want to get in on this thing. Look, we all know it's got to be done, right? We got a world. It's lost. It's going to hell. Somebody's got to do something about it. Somebody's got to teach Sunday school. Somebody's got to run a bus route. Somebody's got to sing. We all know. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for somebody sitting on the edge of their seat saying, it's got to be done, and I want to be a part. I want to be a part of that. I want to get in on it. Can I be in the bus ministry? Can I be in the choir? Could I be in the Christmas ensemble of the 12 Days Redneck Christmas? Brother Wren is in our staff soloist. No one like him. Get in! I'm finished. I'd just like to say two things. Get a cause. Revive your cause. Get a cause or revive your cause. Let me tell you something. If the devil's kicking the snot out of you, you can take a beating for an awful long time if you've got a cause. The reason why some of you will not be in this church 1 year from now is because you are causeless. You don't see the big picture? Probably there are men on the staff that you won't be on staff 5-10 years from now. You lose sight of your cause. You see, if you got a cause, it makes you want to go the extra mile. Do the hard thing. A cause. David's brother said, David, you come down here to this battle. What are you doing, son? Scold him. Put him in his place. Well, you can't whip him. David stood up and said, is there not a cause? How did David win a battle when he was so outweighed? First of all, God was with him. I know that. I promise you. He had a cause. And when you got a cause, you can fight. Cause draws the fight out of you. What's